Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Hello and welcome to Stretford Paddock. This podcast is sponsored by Surfshark VPN. Now more than ever, our online reliance has been rapidly increasing. We stream our favourite shows, we keep in touch with our loved ones, we even watch podcasts like The Brew. And we like to think our information is safe, but as our online footprint increases, so does our need for proper security. Yeah, Surfshark is a VPN service that protects your information by encrypting all the data that you send through the internet, keeping anyone unwanted from seeing it. Another great reason to use a VPN is because content from different streaming services don't want you to watch everything in every different country. It's a disgrace. There's certain shows for America, certain shows for Canada, certain shows for Mexico, Venezuela, UK, Netherlands. How about you have access to all of them and get access to everything, whether that's Netflix, Amazon Prime, or even football highlights on Twitter. And with Surfshark, you can solve that problem by simply changing your location. Also, if you do go on abroad on holiday and you're in Tenerife and you're in Falaraki, you still want to watch BBC iPlayer, don't you? You still want to watch Premier League football? Change your location back to the UK while you're gone to get access to all of your home comforts. And currently, Surfshark are bringing you genuinely one of the most ridiculously good deals I've ever heard. Use the link in the description and use code PADDOCK, as you can see on the screen there, code PADDOCK. You will get, wait for this, 85% off, which means for something like a couple of quid a month, you can be fully protected. Plus, you get 3 months for free, and Surfshark also offers a 30-day money-back guarantee. So use the link in the description, promo code PADDOCK, as you can see there, for, again, let me just listen to this, 85% off, 3 months for free, and a 30-day money-back guarantee.
The beneficial thing on the ice bath is that it actually increases natural dopamine.
What's dopamine?
Dopamine's what you was getting railed off your tits with a chink.
Right, so is that dangerous if I'm getting natural stuff like that?
No, you want that. Right, so okay. It's real. So you get natural dopamine when you go, oh, I completed a task at work, you'll get a tiny little bit of dopamine. Yeah. When you do something nice for someone, you'll get a little bit of dopamine. But your dopamine gets like a 200% kick just by having a fucking ice bath.
So what's the reason you're not doing ice bath?
Because I can't get in the bath.
Right.
So what happens is, I think it's epinephrine gets released. Epinephrine's the same thing. It's like, I think it's artificial adrenaline.
Right.
So what happens is, in the first 30 seconds, I can't get past 30 seconds is what it is. So you get in, you have 30 seconds of going like this, and I can't get past it. Like, I feel like I'm gonna die, so I get out.
Right, okay.
But if you can survive 30 seconds, yeah, after that you calm, and then you just stay in it, no problem. I can't get past 30 seconds.
Right, okay. Because my mate started doing the ice bath thing. He keeps putting it on his Instagram, and like, I do this cold shower thing, but only at the end of the shower. Like, I think Joe does 90 seconds, I do 30 seconds, because I'm like, I've heard that, having colds. Your mate did that thing, didn't he, with Hoff, what's his name? The guy, did you watch it? Patrice Evra, when he was in that thing in the Arctic.
No, I haven't seen it.
What, did you watch it, Cal?
It was Wim Hof, I think, though.
Wim Hof, thank you, yeah. And like, my missus got into it and all his recommendations. So like, cold showers was one. But it's like, you can do it at the end of your shower if you want, which I prefer, because I don't want to just be looking forward to a cold shower. That's just grim. But yeah, my mate was like, oh, you gotta get an ice bath and all that, but I'm not.
So yeah, so I did.
Yeah.
I did. I've got it. It's in my garden. You got to crack the ice on it at the moment because it's well cold. But no, I can't. I've tried to get in it, yeah. And I've had Blake come and like watch me trying to get in it, and then crease up laughing because I nearly die with it. I mean, but there's a lot of legit reasons for it. What the problem with the ice bath thing is a lot of the time it was used for recovery.
Yeah.
And they don't actually think that there's that much in the recovery of it. They think that's not as good as they thought it was, or not right. Even a thing.
When were they using it for recovery?
Quite a lot. I mean, United have got a couple of plunge baths in the changing room.
Right.
So they're probably getting the players in and out of them as soon as they come off the pitch. I think that there's probably, I can't remember what the exact studies on it was, but like for people that are trying to do them for recovery, I think if you've left a certain amount of period of time between working out and getting in it, it's not going to do anything.
Yeah.
And people try and do it for like injury prevention and this, that, and that. And I think that's a load of old bollocks. But the hormone releasing that you get with an ice bath is real.
What does that do to your releasing hormones?
So that, I'd have to look up what it was that they said on the thing, but the kicking dopamine is really real, and you will just feel energized all day for that.
Yeah.
Do you know when people go, oh, I mean, I think you've said this actually. If you work out, you feel energized.
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, like, it's the you nailed it then when you said about a task. Like, I do 10K usually every Sunday, like religiously. And I've noticed that I feel better after it. It's not even just physically, it's that whole a sense of achievement. I know it sounds a bit like really, but you've done a 10K, you're settled for the day. Also, recently I've started pushing myself because the Manchester 10K is on the horizon. So I thought my times have gone to the dogs because I've just been doing it and just chilling, just listening to my music. So I'm going to try and up my game a little bit. So now I've started going back to sub an hour. So I'm not, you know, tearing up any trees, like 56 minutes or whatever. But that's like, okay, you know, feel good. I've just done a 56-minute 10K, getting towards the sort of my PB or whatever. So yeah, you do feel good about it. I mean, it's weird as well because I usually do that and then either go to the game or come here for a watch along because it's a Sunday. We usually play on a Sunday, don't we, because we've got Europa League. And you might feel a bit goosed, but your mind's a bit more lively. Do you know what I mean? I don't feel like I'm not stood at the game going, oh, I'm knackered. Or I'm not here going, I feel good.
I murder myself.
Well, you push your, like when we did the Manchester 10K together, we was upstairs and you went, like, this is the bag I'm carrying. And I remember trying that bag and thinking, I could not walk down the...
It's a bit of a mission. It's about 2 mile here, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I couldn't... If you'd have said to me, Jay, do me a favour, I've got to go out. Will you meet me at the thing with the bag? And I've got an Uber, right? I'm not joking. It was heavy. Now, you doing 10K, and you weren't even that slow. You weren't that, like, that bad. It's like, I could not do that, but you do that. That's your thing, like, you know what I mean? So...
Yeah, when I work out, I don't ever. I've never had that. When I was in shape, I never had that. When I was in the army, I never had that. When I was playing rugby, I never had that. I never had that glow of exercise because I've always gone like a fucking Viking at everything. So if I'm not in a puddle of piss and sweat at the end of it, have we even worked out?
You know, I felt sorry for you as well on that 10K, right? Because I remember I just got back to here. Because the game was on. There was a game on, wasn't there? So we were all sort of getting changed there. I think there was a game on.
So there was. We went straight into it.
Yeah. And I was watching the app, and I had your number in my app because I sort of put it in, obviously. So I was waiting to see when you finished. And then it said you stopped. And I knew you hadn't. I knew, and I've never been more certain of anything in my life, he's lost his thing.
I had my number on my bag.
Yeah, your number, sorry. I knew you had. Because I thought, I know what he's like, you're off your head, there's like... You know,
the number stopped about 100 metres before the end, didn't it?
Yeah, and I thought, there's no way 100 metres, you've gone. Sat that off. It's just not in your nature. And when I met you, you finished and you went, my number flew off. And I said to some guy, is that mine? And he just didn't answer me.
Yeah, what was happening, and it was a pain in the arse, actually, was there was loads of people patting me on the bag. Yeah. But it was, they were rocking me.
Oh, mate.
So they were sending me, like, it's a, you know, it had £43 or something in it like that. So, you know, a bit of a shove to the side. It's a little bit of,
yeah.
You know, bit of something needed to pull yourself back to level with it. And when that's happened, and I was knackered as well, one of my feet had gone, like, I think it was plantar fasciitis, but one of my feet had gone completely. And I was on Chester Road, and it's not like you can't even get like a car to come and get you there.
No.
So I had a word, and I was like, "Oh, we're fucking finishing this race." I was about mile and a half, 2 mile maybe to go.
Yeah, well, depends where on Chester Road you are, but
probably about a mile maybe. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And I'm thinking, well, I better just finish. Yeah. So then I literally just had a conversation and went, "We're finishing."
Was that in your mind, the fact that people are obviously recognising your stuff, everyone's
seeing it. People taking selfies with me.
Is that in your mind, like, does that motivate you?
A 1,000,000%.
Right, because what motivated me, I like that. I like your honesty. Because what motivated me
I just seen that fucking house on there.
Yeah, because that's all over the internet, innit? Like, calls himself, thought he was an ex-soldier. Look at him.
Okay, no chance. I'd have gone with 1 foot.
Yeah. Because my motivation was, our kid and my cousin were at Old Trafford. So, and when I was running up there, I knew I was going to see them, and it was just like, right, so I didn't want to be like, and then coming back down the other end, I didn't know where my kids were going to be, but I knew they were there, and I thought, can you imagine if you just, for 5 minutes, whatever, you start just walking, and that's the time they see you, do you know what I mean? So I just thought, I've got to just keep going, and yeah, it works out, so right.
As people were patting me on the rucksack, someone had, because it only held on with two safety pins, had ripped the number off,
wow, we need to
and I thought that was it, and it flew past me on the front, but you're not agile carrying that after 10K as well.
No, Jesus,
and I was like, oh, I couldn't quite get to it. And I just said to someone, is that me? Is that my, has my number come off? Just got blanked. Finish. And then, yeah. Literally, it was at the Deansgate Bridge, where the Deansgate station is.
Yeah.
And the finish was outside the Hilton, wasn't it?
Oh, mate.
That's how far away it
was.
That's
where my family was, outside the just near there. Because they were at the beginning, but I didn't see him.
I'm hoping I've had my injection by then. It's usually April, isn't it?
May, I think. Oh, are you doing it? Are you doing it?
I'll do it with weight again, yeah.
Right, well, this time I'm going to stick loads of safety pins. Do you know what I love about this, right?
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Everyone, you can tell we have just the regular brew viewers, right? No one's questioning the facts.
But do you know what? It actually fits.
Yeah, it does. It fits in Lehman's site, which is, forgive us for that, because actually, for once,
we didn't mean to be on topic.
We're accidentally on topic. Right, no one's questioning it. Everyone's joining in the conversation. I'll get to some of your chats as well, because I do want to involve you. It's just me and people going and talking about this. I've been at Verme. I feel good after a swim. Swim, the Swizzler says, Jay asking if natural dopamine is okay, absolutely sent me.
But that's the thing about narcotics, recreational drugs are a big dopamine replacement.
Right.
So one way people do it, when they kick it, I mean, what did you replace it with? Nothing.
This time round, where I actually put it down, and this is going to sound so soft and soppy. Forgive me, Steve, but it is the truth.
Am I going to leave?
I'm struggling. I think this might be the only time you end up walking.
If you go, just loving me kids.
No, it was, do you know what it was? It was actually like replacing it with getting your life in order. So getting a career that doesn't, you know, sort of go around for 18 months before you ruin it. Starting a family and being around for them and that sort of shit. And I threw myself into it and it kind of worked. It just did. It works. It didn't. Not kind of works. It has some, eight
people
and a half years
do
in.
Need. So if you do get addicted to substances, you do need to replace that dopamine with something. And
because my mate has quit. He's turbo Iron Man. Like,
that's a big one for people. Yeah, is triathlons and stuff.
Yeah, that's what he does. And like, he's the one that said to me, "Do you want to come to Salford Keys for you about a year ago?" And I went, "Yeah, go on, right. Well, I've not seen for a little while. I should go and have a brew." And he went, "We got there," and he went, "Right." I've not brought you any suit or anything. I was like, what are you on about? He's like, we're going to go for a swim. I went,
no.
Where? Yeah. And where? He went, in the Keys. And I, you know what my thing was? I thought,
so I got an hour on my parking. Yeah. If you can get out in 45, we'll have a brew.
You know what I thought as well? You know, like you were saying, you don't want people to see you collapsed or whatever, because they go, I know a lot of people around me this year. Me getting fished out of the canal, like, help me. Like, or just crying. It's just not happening. So I was having none of it. And he went round, he just, do you mind waiting while I do it? And I just played on my phone while he went round. But he threw himself in and out, like you were saying.
The ice bath, going back to where we started.
Yeah.
One of the videos that I watched on what the ice bath does in terms of that dopamine receptor, is a guy got off cocaine, but like properly addicted to cocaine, by just doing ice baths.
Really?
Insane. Absolutely insane. So if anyone's addicted to a bit of choo-choo, like just get an ice bath.
There's going to be a new segment on this show every day. Ice baths with Jay Motti.
Well, like I said, so I bought one. I bought a Lumipod. It's in my garden. And at the moment, it's got like leaves on the top.
Mate, that's sick.
I've tried like 3 or 4 times, and it is... I mean, we've just had a brutal cold snap, haven't we?
Yeah.
I think when it gets to like April, John, it's like getting towards barbecue weather. Maybe it's a bit of shorts weather.
If you're not
I'm
going to
be banging into
no
it.
There's no way I'm doing it. That's not happening.
It was hard.
Peter Kelly in the chat says, keep the ice baths going, Steve. Just about getting over the 30s and it's fine after. Also, are we winning the Copa del Rey this year then or what?
I think we are.
Dean B98 says, I'm sweating just listening. Pass me that donut. also... Oh, I think Peter Kelly sent it. He's chatting twice. There was someone else as well. Made me laugh because everyone was in the chat just joining in, as they do. And then someone was like, when are these guys going to start talking about football? And then Glenn F and a few others are like,
sure, mate.
If you don't like this, you just go and watch something else. Which is,
there's probably, in the region of 40 videos a week coming out about United and football.
Do you know what, right? Let's just get this out there, right? Me and Steve, on a Friday afternoon, there's a little bit of wind down. There's a little bit of like, who can we get on that we like? Do you know what I mean? So we've had guests that we want to get on. No, it doesn't matter whether they're United related or not, to be honest with you. It's just someone we like chatting to. And we hope that you guys, we know you guys from the chat and everything get it. It's just a nice little bit of nostalgia. We've started talking a little bit more about modern football because we've actually been good this season, whereas the last few seasons, that wasn't always the case. But yeah, I did the news today. We did the Europa League watch along. Draw what's on. How many videos have you done this week and on everything that's happening?
Today it was about 4.
Well, today you did the XG files. We talked about the owners, didn't you? So I know that's a hot topic. And if you want to go and get Steve's thoughts on that, go over to Steve Announcer TV. But yeah, if you just want to have a little bit of chat about nothing, well, not necessarily nothing, then the brew is the place to do it. I was starstruck earlier today because I think we need to talk about this. Because this is, I'm gutted, right? I didn't ask him to come on as well because he knew who it was. I bumped into it. I came out of the office here and I saw the winners of Love Island walking down the street, right? And like, Steve, he doesn't even know what a Love Island is, right? I had to explain to him what it is. So I went over to ask myself and the guy knew who it was. Kai, he was like, oh my God, Jamie. So I was like, okay. It was mint. And I flopped though because I should have got him to come on the brew. It would have been sick. But I was chatting to producer Chris and I was saying to him, you know, the weird thing is, right? I think in my entire life, I've actually asked someone like a celebrity for a selfie 3 times and 2 of them have been Love Island contestants. Like, seriously. And you think about what we do and who we've met. And I know you've met, you've took it to another level recently. But we meet a lot of our heroes and that. Yeah, the only time I've asked for selfies, I think one was Eric, and it wasn't really a selfie, someone took it. And the other 2 was Chris from Love Island 3 years ago and Kai and Sanam today.
Do you know, like when we kick off this show and we normally go, "Who's your fucking mate?"
Yeah, that's why I flopped by not asking him to come on.
Because I would have been able to literally go, honestly, who the fuck's that? I'm on Love Island. Well done.
What about? We could have spent the entire show explaining to Steve what a Love Island is because he hasn't got a clue. And listen, I get it because it's like, you don't expect a 43-year-old Mancunian man to be watching Love Island, but I do. It's my guilty pleasure and I make no apologies for it. Sorry, just looking there for someone sent me a message there. Right, this is such a stupid question, right? Podge Benson goes, lads, who would win a strainer? No holds barred. Howson versus Motti. Right. Not even in my sniffed up 10 pints of Stella days would I think I'd fancy my chances against the 3 tours of Afghanistan and Iraq army veteran who also used to do a bit of cage fighting, Howson over there. Do you know what I mean? Like, my only hope there would be to run off, you to chase me, and you to collapse before I do.
Pull a calf.
Yeah, that's my hope with that one.
Good odds on that, to be fair.
There's a hierarchy here at Stretford Paddock, and I think it's safe to say in the scrapping stakes, I put Steen at the top, then I put myself second, McCullough third, and Joe at the bottom. Don't know, well,
we were talking
Joe's
before,
a bit hench
we?
Now, actually.
So he's doing a lot of deadlifts.
Yeah, I think if I still came down, I think Joe could.
He's still a pearl clutcher, though, isn't he?
Like, if you went full in dirty on Joe, like biting and gouging, I think he'd be like, "Rah, this isn't for me." But if it was just like fisticuff, I think he could do a bit of damage. Cause he's got a bit of a dig on him.
So, slow
K Kurt's in the chat as well, by the way.
Something, K. We were talking a little bit with. I'm off to Slow Readers tonight. They're playing Albert Hall.
Nice, love that venue as well.
And the last time I went and watched the Slow Readers, there was a little bit of bother.
Elucidate the masses.
And I was with Adam Patterson and Joe, which right. If you was going to try and get into a bit of bother.
Steve, right. Can we, are we allowed to say about Patterson? Is that?
No, I'd leave it. No, leave
right.
It.
Let's put it this way, Patterson.
He's not winning UFC.
Yeah, he's not winning UFC, right? He's small. He's weak.
Alcoholic.
And he's alcoholic, right? He is. That's the description of the part. We love him. He's our mate, but he's a small, weak alcoholic.
He's coming tonight as well.
Right, okay. So that's him, yeah? If you want an office reference or someone to quote Phoenix Knights, he's your guy.
Yeah,
he's if you're going to have a fight, I can't think of anyone I'd less like to get in a fight with other than maybe Joe Smith.
So that's who I was with.
So you thought I'm firm handed here, we're rolling three man deep. How are you? Who's your three man? Me, Patterson, and Joe. Yeah, good luck with that. What happened anyway? I'll never tire this story. Go on.
No, it's been said before.
Some guy kicked off you.
We think it was a City fan.
Why are the City fans just it's not even City fans, it's City, the club boys sort of measure everything against United, if you notice this. It's like when Haaland scored the other day. Because apparently he scored a few goals, which is a bit of a rarity for him. And it was like all these references to Wayne Rooney. And I'm thinking, what's that got to do with anything? Do you know what I mean? And it's not just City, like ESPN and people aren't doing it. It's like quick.
ESPN are...
They're a bit weird, aren't they? Because they sort of...
Pure anti-United. Yeah.
They don't like United them, do they? Like, and I don't know why there's this anti-United thing for him. I don't know whether it's they've done a bit of market research and go, if we hate United, the Scousers and the both City fans will love us. Or they've actually, the people who are doing their admin... hate United. Because I know a couple of people at ESPN are all right. So it's just a bit strange. But they always seem to go after us. And they always have these crap stats.
I mean, it's embarrassing with some of the ones. And you see, like, Sky Sports the other day, the top 11. United's record against the top 11.
The top what now?
The top 11.
Yeah. That's like, do you remember when... I mean, there's lots of stuff you can give him. And I used to give him some sometimes. But it's like with Pogba. And he used to come out with these stats about his work rate. And they looked at the amount of distance he's covered and realised his work rate wasn't as bad as everyone was saying. So then they came up with a new stat just for him of how many times he was walking during his movement. Literally like, well, we need to find something to beat, a stick to beat him with. So actually, if you look, 25% of the time he's walking. And you think, well, all players do that. Like, you watch players, they're not constantly running, are they?
No,
do you know what I mean? That'll look weird. Do you know what I mean? Like, what are you on about? But yeah. That was like a stat they'd sort of come up with to go, look, he's actually really lazy all the time.
Dangerously close to being modern footballers. Feel free to throw any questions in.
Yeah, throw in some questions for Ed says, both City fans, Boovie and Big Steve, LMAO. Freddie's constantly running like a lost puppy, says Rob Halliday, drums. Eon says, Messi basically constantly walks. Do you think, right, I hate to be on topic, but it kind of ties in what we're saying. This whole mentality thing, because Klopp said it, didn't he? Mentality monsters. Do you remember? But the one time I did like it, do you remember when he went after Gabriel Bognahor? He said he's not a mentality monster. Last time we played him, we battered him or something. I wouldn't mind he was sticking up for us, bizarrely, because Bognahor going us. How much of a difference do you think that has made at United? The mentality? Do you think there is a real thing there? Because mentality is such a...
It's an open word.
Yeah. It's touching on towards meaningless. Because it's like, did these players step out on the pitch last season and not want to win? No. I think they did. Why couldn't they win? Was it tactics? Was it fitness? Was it confidence? Does that all come under mentality? You know, where do you stand on it? Do you think the mentality shift is a real thing?
I think we've
someone
seen,
as well, because you work with a you coach yourself, so you know about this.
With I think it's evident when Casemiro's not there, we crumble. We have a record very similar to last season, actually, 43%.
Yeah, I saw that the other day. That was shocking. That
I think a lot of this is indisputable. The number one way to improve your football team is recruitment.
Yeah,
the transfer market wouldn't exist if it wasn't. If good coaches were able to just coach players to be better. Like significantly better, not just like a little bit better.
Yeah,
do more of what I want you to do. That's obviously happens, but like the way some people act is like if you just give Sir Alex Ferguson Cowden beef, he would turn them into world beaters. But that's not the case. He took over a Manchester United side and had us bobbing around until he got the right players in, and then he made them into a successive title winning side. Pep Guardiola, if you give him a Sunday league team, they might have a different style of play than they had under Keith, but they're not winning the Champions League. Mind you, Manchester City don't anyway. But the...
What about if you give Keith Manchester City?
Keith wins the league.
Right, thank you.
But that's sort of the point. Pellegrini, who is not as good as Moyes, won a league at Manchester City without half the talent that Pep's got behind him. Recruitment is the number one thing. That's not to say managers don't have an impact. The impact of managers is overstated.
You've said, you've made this argument.
It's not my argument.
No, you is it Soconomics?
Soconomics,
yeah,
Harvard study. When Leon won 9 titles on the bounce, did they just happen to appoint the 9 best managers in the country at the time, or maybe they had the best team in the country?
Yeah.
And they found a manager that wasn't counterproductive to that. Because the average manager does next to nothing. I'm talking average, right? A really bad manager can, dip you. And a 10% dip in performance can see you lose a lot of games.
Yeah.
And a good manager might be able to add 10%. So a good manager and a good player, single individual player, has around about the same impact.
Really? Right. Yeah, because the thing with Fergie, I always think Fergie's true genius. And also Abhinav Verma, we'll get to see Super Chat in a minute. Sorry, bro. Because he says it feels like United should have a Spanish name too. There you go, I've done it. That is just underrated so much is the fact that this guy built a team at Aberdeen that broke the stranglehold of Celtic and Rangers and won a European trophy.
Last one to do it.
Last time Real Madrid lost the final in the European final, was against Alex Ferguson at Aberdeen in 1983.
The last team not Rangers or Celtic to win the Scottish Prem was Aberdeen.
Yeah, like...
almost my lifetime ago.
Yeah, the last Scottish team to win a European trophy, Aberdeen. Like, the guy's still got those records when, like, you're saying, it's, you know, I was 3 years old when that was happening. So, long ago.
Was it 84?
83 for the Cup Winners' Cup.
I wasn't born.
Well, you weren't born. So that's, you know what I mean? And those records still stand. So that's not a coincidence. Then he comes to United, and, like, you make some points, good points there as well. Because I remember the sort of the Danny Wallace, Neil Webb era of some players working out, some not Jim Leighton. Finding his feet a little bit, yeah. But then he finds it. Builds that first great team, the 92-93 team. Obviously the 90-91 Cup Winners' Cup team, a lot from the nucleus of that. Then he goes again with the class of 92. So almost half rebuilds it in 95. Then you look towards a sort of... I still feel like the 2003 title-winning team is kind of different from... It's kind of in between the Ronnie team and the class of 92 team. I know Beckham and that.
There's players that ran through it, obviously.
Yeah, Giggs,
Neville Scholes,
yeah.
Sort of went all the way through them. You got your United...
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
2-94 sort of team.
Yeah.
And then that changed in 95 when he did get rid of Ince Kanchelskis' shoes. The flavour changed and it became, like I said, a bit more of a class of 92 sort of based team. But it still had the remnants. Cantona, Pallister, etc.
Yeah.
But then they sort of peaked in 99 with their own kind of era. 99 to 2000, even though some players left before then and some joined after then. That's a team.
Yeah.
But then 2003, now you've got Rio, now you've got Rude,
yeah.
Now you've got Varane. know, now you've got the likes of Quinton Fortune have joined.
Yeah. Like, Barters, I think was the goalkeeper
it,
there.
It is a different team. And then he breaks that one down again whilst Jose's having a bit of success. Brings another team back up. Now it's based around Wayne Rooney, Michael Carrick, Ronaldo. Yeah. You know, we brought in Vidic and Evra. It's a different team.
Yeah.
And then you can even look at by the time we've gone back to 2013, now it's changed again. Yeah. Now it's based around the likes of Robin Van Persie and still Ryan Giggs somehow.
And even like players like, you know, Tom Cleverley plays like 30 games that season. Danny Welbeck plays 30-odd games that season. There's all these players that weren't around. And, you know, we may scoff at it. Phil Jones played 30 games that season. We won the title. Do you know what I mean? Johnny Evans, I think, played a load of games as well. So it's another team. It's another, you know, at least, obviously, like you say, you've got a lot. And that's Fergie's genius for me. Because you're looking at it now, and people, Pep's still got a lot of the team he had from when he first won the title. Now he's having to, yeah, he's changed it. If he wins the title this season, this will be the first time he's won it with a massively different team.
But he's still got players that were there
De Bruyne.
Before he came.
Yeah, De Bruyne was bought before. No, they bought De Bruyne.
Is he the only one?
De Bruyne...
I know he's bought for him.
Yeah,
but
no, I feel like, and I might be wrong, and by all means, correct me if I am, but I feel like this will be the first time where he'll have won a title with a team that's pretty much, other than De Bruyne, different from the first one he won, where you had still had the likes of a lot of the players that...
Company, De Silva,
Aguero, and all them. So, and like, you look at, I see City fans saying this as well, and a lot of them are going, well, if we don't win the treble... three in a row. It's not that the end of the world because it's almost impossible to do that. Fergie did it twice.
Two times.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
And won a European Cup in the process of both of those.
Yeah. Like, that's unreal. And he kept going again. And you, the point you get him to was what you were saying is about Fergie, great at man management. And I think actually...
The only time he spent money in the night as well. I am sick of City fans throw it up saying United fans spent their way through. We spent a consistent amount of money all the way through the 90s. But there was like... Only 98, I think, that did we spend the most. We signed York and Stamp.
Like, we got more money for Paul Ince than we spent on Roy Keane.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Almost double. I think double.
It was like, yeah.
Seven million, yeah. We spent 3 point whatever on Roy Keane. And, like, Roy Keane was here for the next 13 years. So, like, listen, I know we spent money on Rio and on Rooney. But, again, Wayne Rooney was at the club for, what, 12 years, whatever it is. I can't remember. Rio, 11 years, whatever. So it makes sense. So yeah, his recruitment, I think actually, he gets a bit of a raw deal sometimes. Tactically, I think there was times tactically he got spot on in big, big games and made changes you wouldn't have thought of making. I think it's people just dismiss that, but you don't win all the finals. Like the 96 final, for example, I don't know if you've seen that, where he spoke, Eric says, him and Eric had a bit of a chat before the game and he's like, who'd you rate from the Liverpool team and who'd you worry about?
McManaman.
Yeah, and he went, right, oh, okay, we'll stick Keane on him. And it works. It was a horrible game, but we won. Do you know what I mean?
Liverpool again, Christmas 98-99 season, when we come back. Kitchen sink formation. I think we had a back three. I think we had Keenan Scholes in centre mid, Beckham and Giggs on the wing, and then Solskjaer, is it Colin York or Sheringham and York?
Right.
The kitchen sink formation. Yeah. But, you know, we got back into it.
That's what I mean. And I think some people, it's too quick to go, Fergie was just... The hairdryer, mint signings, good academy policy, good coaches like Rene and Carlos Queiroz and McLaren and play people that could coach. But he just sort of sat in his office and, nah, man, the guy knew tactics. Don't get it twisted. You don't beat Real Madrid with Aberdeen, no respect. You don't beat one of the greatest club sides ever with United in the first attempts at Europe since 1968 or since... Sir Matt Busby.
I think
unless you know about tactics,
Rio says he didn't take training, and I get this. I take training, so I'm on there. One of the things that I do that so I was chatting to as a young coach that's asked us for a little bit of advice. I don't think I'm a good enough coach or experienced enough coach to be dispensing advice, but he's asked, and I'm not just going to tell him to fuck off. Like, so
fair enough.
I told him what I know and what I do. And it's something I do, which apparently no one does. When I do an 11v11, I stand right in the middle, like almost where a referee would be.
Really?
I want to see what they're seeing. I want to hear what they're saying. I want to hear how they're sort of communicating with him. But one of the things Rio always says is, Sir Alex didn't take training, but he was taking the temperature of training.
Right.
And if you think about how he's seen as the great man manager, isn't he? That's yeah, his yeah. whole thing. That's the whole thing that people throw at him. Not a tactician, man manager. He's a motivator, a man manager, which is such a reduction, I think, of
do you think
what
it
he
is
was.
A, do you think it's like, by some, it's almost like an insult?
Yeah.
Like, Pep's a genius. Like, tactical genius, even though he keeps losing in Europe because his tactics are terrible.
Because he changes his tactics yeah. rather than... Because he... Honestly, what he's done in terms of setting a base of how Manchester City play, he should have played golf for the whole week against Chelsea and the first 11 lads into the changing room put a shirt on and go win it. Because yeah. they would have done.
Yeah.
But he wants to fuck about with it to make whatever to go and win it.
Show how clever he is.
Yeah, his team should have just walked out there and played their game and gone and won it.
Yeah.
Can you manage the emotions of players in moments like that? 99 final, what did Fergie say at halftime? It's quite famous. I hope you can remember it. It's all right, I can if you can't.
Is it about the ribbons? You're going to walk past that trophy
and
you're not going to be able to touch it. Just remember that. Now, I'll be honest with you, Steve. If I'm in that changing room, I just burst into tears. I'm no use to anyone in that second half.
Do you know where that came from?
Go on.
Joe Archibald. Was it Steve Archibald?
Yeah, yeah.
The former Aberdeen player.
And then went to Barcelona.
Barcelona.
Which isn't a very... isn't the usual career trajectory.
Not a well-trodden path.
Yeah.
From Aberdeen to Barcelona.
To Barcelona.
But he stayed there, living there. So yeah. come 99, United are in Barcelona. Steve Archibald comes and rocks up to go and have a word with Fergie.
Yeah.
And he lost it to Steaua Bucharest in 86 with Barcelona. So he drops this line to Fergie about how bad walking past it was, and Fergie goes, can't tell him that, too much. Joe, for kickoff, trying to focus him, and almost a Champions League final, I think, is about managing nerves,
yeah.
about calming people down, because I think it's the sort of game where actually you shouldn't need to. I think a manager's job in those situations, sometimes it's about lifting them. Listen, this opposition's going to be right on top of you. You know, you're going to play Rapid Vienna away. Listen, they're going to come out firing. You're going to have the home fans on top of you. Like, you need to manage the sort of like temperature of your players in those situations, but not in a Champions League final at the Nou Camp. I think you need to calm everyone down because people are going to be going out there with a heart rate at 200. So he goes, I can't tell them that before this. So he emphasised the strengths. How good Manchester United are, how fluid our attack is, what we do, this, that and the other. But there wasn't a lot of tactical detail into it. The tactical detail was, I'm going to play Nicky Butt at centre mid. And he was umming and ahhing about playing Beckham in the centre.
I remember, yeah.
Or Giggs in the centre. Because he thought Giggs running from central positions would have been really effective. But he changed his mind because he'd already told Blomqvist he was starting, which is mental. And he was shit, wasn't he?
Yeah. I love Jesper Blomqvist, but in that game, he didn't do anything.
Yeah, he was shit. So he plays Giggs on the right, Blomqvist on the left, Beckham and Butt in midfield. And he thought Ryan Giggs against, or who did they play left back? It wasn't a normal left back. It wasn't Lizarazu. Lizarazu should have been the left back. Who did they play? Don't think it was a youngster, but it was someone not very good. Mate,
do you know what? I'll be honest with you, that's one of the few games I've... Michael Tanat.
Yeah, could be.
Yeah.
So he thought Ryan Giggs running at him. He's not normally a left back, I don't think. So he thought.
Sometimes it says here, I don't know. I'm not going to pretend I know a lot about the kid, but it says he works as a defensive midfielder and a left wing back. He's at left back.
So he thought Ryan Giggs running at him. He said, but it wasn't working because all of United's patterns were based on obviously cut wide to Beckham. He slings it back in, get in the box.
Yeah.
Giggs is coming in off the right onto his left to shoot, which obviously becomes a trait that you see a lot in Europe and Premier League after that. But at the time, we got two strikers up front, not got a clue what to do with it. Beckham's very, very, very deep, getting on the ball and launching the ball forward. But United have gone a bit long ball now because of that, because that's really what they're trying to do with Beckham's range. And it wasn't until we take off... Was it Blomqvist for Sheringham?
Blomqvist for Sheringham and then Cole for Ollie.
Yeah, and I think we went to a diamond in midfield with Beckham on the right. York was in the 10. So I don't know who the fuck would have played left mid. Don't know. But anyway, that's how they decided to rock it. And then as soon as Beckham comes onto the right-hand side, we got 15 minutes of United now actually having chance
Beckham
after chance.
Beckham had such a good...
Chance.
I mean, I know I'm preaching to the choir, but... He had such a good game in that game. And I saw an interview with him when he was saying, he might have been the Class of 92 documentary actually, where he was saying, I felt confident going into the last few minutes because I was having such a good game that I felt like we still had a chance because, like, you know, my tail's up and I'm thinking, you know what, I'm doing
all right. You've
done a match, haven't you? Yeah, I think you should have. I mean, to be fair, they had a few contenders. Like, they took, was it Basler off? Which is... Mario Basler, I think he wasn't he the kid that scored from as well? They took Basler off, they took your mate Lothar Matthäus off, and they took the other kid, Zickler, off, which Zickler's not so much, but Basler and Matthäus is like, you're going early there, son. Basler, do you know what I mean? Like, Zickler, you've not got a two-goal cushion here.
I think Basler and Zickler were left and right midfield.
I think you're right, yeah.
And Fergie had clocked
yeah,
that...
Yeah, you're right, yeah. Well, left and right attack, sorry.
So Fergie had clocked that both of those two were... Do you like... Park used to always get subbed, did he?
Yeah.
So there's a couple of scapegoats. Every manager's got a couple of...
What matter under Jose?
Yeah. You always know that that's the first sub.
Yeah.
So Fergie went and watched half a dozen videos on Bayern Munich, and he went, Steve, look at this. Every single game, last 15 minutes, they go and take these two off. And I think he might have even said, if they're ahead in the game 15 minutes ago, they're definitely going to do this. And they put on more defensively mind. Was it Christian Ziger? Who did they put
no,
on?
No. It was Mehmet Scholl came on for Zickler. So Mehmet Scholl is a midfielder. And he was, he just says actually he's an attacking midfielder, but he's a midfielder. You've got a midfielder coming off for an attacker, basically. So
and what for Basler?
For Basler, Thorsten Fink, who again is a midfielder.
So those were two more defensively minded players, basically buying a shutting shop up, right?
Yeah.
So Fergie knew going into the last 10 that if it was tight or they were ahead, Bayern would play this sub card and it would bring them 10, 15 metres further back to sort of like hold on to what they got. So he was always going to make the two striker changes.
Right.
Going into the game. And he doesn't get the credit for that level of planning because of the things he's seen. So he doesn't necessarily do it with movement, maybe. There's a great story in the 1999 book where he's trying to explain.
I have got it. And I do need
where he's trying to explain to Andy Cole a movement that he wants to get him to do in the box. And he goes, fuck it, just get in a box. He's like got a tactics board out and he's like, yeah, forget it, just get in a box. So he's not really one that explains it in that, but he knows the characteristics of players. He knows the strengths of those players. And he's able to say, I put you on the pitch and the way you play the game is what I want in this area.
Yeah.
And I think that was...
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Was you with Rio when he spoke about Bobby Charlton's speech in 2008?
Yes.
What was that like? Because he got emotional.
I asked him about it. I think it was at Old Trafford, actually. So I spoke to Rio about... I watched it in the Palace, just down the road. And I remember very, very clearly. And what a treat to be able to talk to Rio about this moment.
Yeah.
I remember very, very clearly the TV camera was following Rio. And he had this... absolute face on him, and I remember saying to Ben, oh, we're winning this.
Yeah,
I went, look at him. And he was looking at the time, it said believed in it in the crowd.
Yeah.
And he was looking at that and he said, I was just taking it in. He goes, he also said to me, I don't know if he said this on camera or not, he also said he didn't want to look at the cup,
right?
Which
okay.
is in between them. So he was looking that way,
right?
But the sort of look of business like steeliness that I saw in his face, I was like, oh shit, we're winning this, because he was captain one of that.
Yeah.
So it was cool to talk about him about that. And then the TV cameras before the trophy presentation shown him talking to Bobby Charlton. And you're like, what did Bobby Charlton say? And I forgot what he said now. But it's perfect, whatever he says. And I think he says something along the lines of, mate, getting choked up. Go on, what does he say?
He says, so this is Rio talking to you, funnily enough. And he's talking about actually the trophy lift. So he's saying... all your family are there and it brings all what they've been through to get you there. And I almost started blubbering a bit. I remember Vida, the man you vidic, said to me.
Yeah, said not here.
Not here, yeah, great memory. And he said, and so Bobby came to me just as we're going up and kind of grabbed me and said, Rio, not many captains have listed the trophy. You're going to be one of them. Do you know what this means for this football club? What we had to go through? Munich, there's lives that had been lost on the way here. He said, this is history and you're part of it now. Your team are part of it. Go on, lift that now and enjoy it. Enjoy it, bro. I'm like,
I go and get 5 minutes?
Wait, give me like, I need to go and have a moment. Like with the tears of
the... Do you want to say it's perfect? Like, it's word for word perfect, isn't it?
Like, it is.
I think Rio said Ed was gone completely after that.
Because you know what I love, right, about Sir Bobby Charlton? I mean, I love everything about the man. Definition of, remember when I met you and you said there's only one unarguable legend at his club, it's Bobby Charlton.
Yeah.
Like, you said the legend gets banned about, I'm not having it. The only one you can never argue about is...
But I said there's only one.
Yeah.
And it was him.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. You said you can't argue about that.
I've like, softened since then.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, now, you know, I'll give it anyone. But McCain is a legend because of them goals against Villa. But, like, he went up, didn't he, with because he was part of the delegation. And when he gets up to where they're giving out the medals, Platini gives him a medal and he won't have it. He says, no. And Platini's like, well, you know, you get a medal, you're part of the fit. He's like, no, I'm not. And he said, like, he wouldn't take a medal because he didn't play. And you think, bro, you could have had all the medals. No one's arguing with you. You're Sir Bobby Charlton. You're the
walk
reason.
Walk around.
Yeah.
Knob out and everything afterwards in the changing room. Like, get in the bath, lads. Yeah, like, got my medal on. Like, let's go.
No one's arguing with you. But he's got that mixture of humility and just respect as well.
Did he put it in his pocket?
I don't think he took it. He didn't take it.
I'm sure I saw him put it in his
pocket. Unless he took it and wouldn't, but he wouldn't. Like, I remember there was a thing of him like saying, nah, not.
I think that one might be what he did. He tried to put it on him and he's palmed it and ended up having to put it in his pocket.
Oh, right, he might have put it in his pocket, right, okay, but he wouldn't have a medal. He was like, nah, I'm not doing that. And you think, you know,
what a moment that is.
That for him, because there's loads like that. I remember there was a thing, because you talk about there, about saying the right thing. There was a game in Europe where I think Bobby Charlton, they were playing like Benfica or whatever, and he just said to them, I think this was a hard time, they've been struggling or whatever, and he was saying, listen, if you get the ball, just give it to me. And everyone was like, right, okay. And it just calmed everyone down, and it was just like, you know what?
It's not arrogance. It's
no.
Not the thing. It's
I mean, he's one
like
of the greatest players that's ever
Billy
played
Big
football.
Bollocks.
No, it's calmed everyone. You've got a lot of young players there, players that haven't been here, players that, you know, the pressure's on. And can you imagine playing for United post-Munich as well in Europe? The pressure, the emotion, like, of like, go and win it for the babes.
We need to get Alex Stepney on here, by the way.
I love that man. He's in the ace. He's just the nicest guy ever. So humble as well. They all are.
Yeah, and you think, mate, you won a European Cup with United with Charlton, Lauren Best.
Yeah. You went up against Eusebio and you won.
Like, Eusebio at the time was the World Player of the Year.
Yeah.
Just as an FYI, in case you didn't know.
Yeah, in case you
That
wondering.
Was literally like peak Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah. And, you know...
No gloves either.
No
gloves.
Yeah, behave. Like, it's unreal, yeah. We need to get Stepney on because he's a great guy and he's really good with his stories and stuff.
Stepney's got some mega stories about Sir Matt, and he said, obviously, can you imagine how emotional... It's Real Madrid, it's the Bernabeu, it's away. We've had to go win. Didn't we draw at home or something?
We won one, right. This is... You're going to the same story I was going to quote. This is why me and you... on this podcast together. So we won 1-0 at Old Trafford.
Right.
We went away and we're 2-1 down at half time. And I think this is what you're getting to. So Matt Busby, they come in at half time and everyone's panicking. You're losing at the Bernabeu. The crowd are going.
Rowing.
Yeah, like
so, you've been in change rooms anyway. It's just chaos.
Yeah, chaos.
You can't, fucking yeah, get
what
your
are you
man
doing? Oh, you try marking him then. All that
fucking
stuff.
Fucking Di Stefano, you dick.
Yeah, what do you want me to do? Like. And he said, like, Matt Busby, because obviously he just commands respect, he sat down and everyone's quiet.
And he said, it's way more than that.
Go
like, on. I've seen this in my mind's eye as he spoke about it. So Matt Busby used to smoke a pipe.
Obviously.
Pipes are a whole ritual.
Yeah.
You don't just spark it and crack on, do you? You've got to clean it, you've got to pack it, you've got to like, there's a whole thing. And he says there's chaos going on in the changing room. And Matt Busby sat by the door and he just whips his pipe out. Emptying it out. Can you imagine just everyone's like, what's he doing sort of thing?
This is the second leg of the European Cup, which is the Champions League.
Was it 2-1 down or was it not 2-0 down?
I'm looking here, right?
Don't we need to score 3 goals?
This is the thing, though, he says. It's 2-1, right? I've got here, I'm looking at it. It's 2-1. Oh, no, sorry, bro. It's 3-1. It's 3-1 on the night, but Best had scored in the first leg.
So we only need one to win?
So...
on away goals?
Yes, I think so.
If away goals is a thing.
But this is this the one where...
It's Bill Foulkes who scores.
Yeah, he's got a good... No, he's there, lad. David Sadler and Bill Foulkes scored in the second half. But I remember seeing a story where Busby was like, barely spoken and just said, don't forget, lads, we're only a goal behind.
No, that's not what he said. Right. No, that's not what Stepney said.
Right, anyway. Sorry, because there's that story. There's like, he said something like along those lines.
Yeah, he spends his... he goes like... Stepney goes, it's 5 minutes cleaning his pipe.
Wow.
In silence.
Right.
He goes, and by this time, all of that little like hustle and bustle, it's genius man manager, and that I bet he didn't know what he was doing, but knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. So what's the result of what's happened is the entire dressing room has shut up arguing with each other. And because he's got such gravitas.
I
can remember just seeing him when I was like 8 or 9 or something like that, and he just had a presence. Cantona's got it.
Yeah.
Fergie's got it. Busby had it. Like, and he's just sitting there. So Stepney's like fully explained it to him. I can smell it. Like, that's how well he explained it. And he's like, legs crossed, leg back. Cleaning his pipe. He's got a pipe cleaner out. He's literally just, he's away with a fairy. He's like, nothing else matters apart from cleaning this pipe. And the entire dressing room is just staring at him. Like, say something, man. Jesus.
Yeah.
We're 3-1 down in the Bernabeu, semi-final of the European Cup. We've lost players on the way to get in here. And he go, and he said, he sparks it up, and he has a big drag, and he goes, starts giggling to himself, and then he's like, oh, he's lost the fucking plot. He's lost the fucking...
The manager spent half this time sorting his pipe out, and now he's giggling.
Yeah, he starts giggling to himself, and he's just everyone's granddad. Even then, he was just a granddad figure, wasn't he? So it's like a dead warm sort of chuckle. And he goes, you're all good players. Go and play football. What?
Yeah.
The fuck? So, people will analyse the copy of what he said there, the words of what he said. But it's not the words. It's, what has he done? He's taken the emotion out of this, the hystericalness out of the players, and he's calmed them down, and he's gone, don't worry about it, just go play football. It's like when we're down, was it 3-0 down at Spurs? Fergie goes, just get the next goal.
Yeah.
3-1. Whatever it was.
Yeah, I'm looking at... Sorry, I was just reading about it. Yeah, he was like... Yeah, just go out there and play like you can. You're all good players, yeah. Like, just calm. Just chill. And do you know what? It's like... I know you've spoken to so many managers. There is that element of... There's not a lot of time in half-time, like, to be going and confusing people and to be... You know what I mean? You can only get one or two ideas into someone's head, can't you?
Three things. I will limit it. It pisses me off if someone else starts talking in the changing room.
Right. So you've got three things you get into people's heads.
They're not going to remember more than three.
Right. So you've got limited time. You've got three things. There's no point going this, and this. It's just going to confuse
people.
You're
going to walk out and go,
what was it?
What was he just saying?
Like, so to actually not get giddy, not panic, not go, fuck, you know, this is it. And for Busby as well. The guy's been through everything now. He's in a semi-final. He lost his team in
the last semi-final. Was it the last time he was in a semi-final? Did we get to a semi-final in 66 or something?
I'm not sure. I think we did. I think we had a record of only being in semis up to about the 90s. It was ridiculous. And then to just be able to calm everyone down. And what I love about it as well is, like, Bobby Charlton said when we won against Benfica in that game you talk about with Stepney, as the final whistle went, Bobby Charlton as well, he talked about elite mentality. I don't want to hear anything about elite mentality unless you can have a conversation about Bobby Charlton, what he went through, what he did, that mentality. The guy played in the World Cup the same year as the Munich air disaster. That's just ridiculous. So he went with England to the World Cup. He's like the captain, obviously. We win the trophy.
Fucking hell, do you mean counselling?
I know. Like, get on with it. That was the attitude, wasn't it? Do you know what I mean? His first thoughts, he said, I had to go and tell some of the lads. And this is, if you've ever seen him, to calm down a bit. They were being a bit rambunctious with some at. Because you were, you know, being a bit boisterous and hugging him, and you know, he was getting on a bit, and I had to go and tell him, just be careful.
The Stepney talks about the emotion of that dressing room. Can you imagine what that dressing room felt like at full time in the Bernabeu? You've just beaten Real Madrid. You know it's in London, the final.
Yeah.
You know it's going to be 99,000 Mancunians in there.
Yeah.
And about 50.
The family fans of the players, basically.
Some of the players.
Some of the players, not all of them.
Like, it's going to be Wembley pulling. I don't know why we played in blue and they played
what,
in white.
What is that?
Never been able to get an answer out of that.
Really? Because yeah. It's so odd, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's in a way, it's kind of good because that kit's iconic, the blue kit. But it's odd. Yeah. Like, you know.
They played in their away kit, we played in their away kit. Did we both just assume it was away?
Well, we don't play at Wembley usually, so it's an away game, so we'll wear an away kit. We'll sell away. Fine. That is one of the mysteries. But when you look at that, and you look at... Because you know what? With football, a lot of the time, things don't work out romantically how they should.
No.
Do you know what I mean? It's a
cruel... That's why it's romantic when it does.
Yeah. You know, you think, oh, you know, if there's any justice, this will happen. No, it won't. That's not how football works. And you think, oh, it's written in the stars that he's going to do this and he's going to win this.
Yeah. Stepney talking about... It's not. All he wanted to do was go and hug Matt. Didn't even need to say anything to him, just hug him.
Yeah.
Can you imagine... I don't think you can imagine the thoughts going through Busby's head in those games, in that semi-final 10 years on, in that final 10 years on, all of those. I mean, Manchester United following that went...
And you know what the weird thing is?
You know what? No one can blame Sir Matt. You just have to thank him.
Exactly. And the thing is as well, United lost the league the week before that. So you know, if you don't win this European Cup, you're not in it next year.
Yeah.
So you're not going again next year. This isn't like the Champions League where you finish fourth and be not even that good and you get a go at it. This is you win the league or you win the European Cup, you ain't in it again next season. End of, right? So there's that pressure of, if we don't do it now, we might never do it. Because a lot of this team is getting towards the end of its career.
I mean, it was relegated, what?
Four years later. So exactly, it was, you know, that's how bad it was in terms of the ages of people. So there's that thing of thinking, right, this is probably my only chance to do this, because if I don't do it now, I've got to win the league again and then get into the European Cup and then win it. And to have that pressure, have that emotion, and to just be chill, proper, like, calm, and do what you needed to do. Even in the final, and your man Stepney there, Eusebio threw one-on-one to win the game.
What's mad is it's a one-all game and the extra time starts and United, did we have Liverpool's inhaler, Doctor? United have come out and just... belonged them,
yeah.
How is it 1-1 after full time, 4-1 after extra time?
How's that happened? Like, we just tore them apart.
It was kind of like we went, all right, let's fuck this, let's get going.
Do you know what made me laugh as well? I went to a dinner once, John Aston was there, and he was man of the match for that game.
Left wing.
Yeah, and he said, I love your knowledge, and he went, I rang the club once and said, like, I was man of the match in the European Cup final, do I not get anything? And they went, no.
We're free touring museum, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, exactly. Like, now, imagine if you're man of the match in a Champions League final now. You're getting deals left, right and centre. There's probably a big trophy to give you.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You probably get a cheque for £2 million or something.
What do you get? Handshake, maybe.
Yeah, an handshake. He said, well, he got sold not long after, like 3 years later by Busby. He's like, yeah. Or a year later by Busby. A couple of chats before we wrap up and then we'll find out what Steve's up to this weekend. Abhinav Verma. The 68 season was the first season where the European Cup had away goals rule. We drew the match 3-3, though, but I think we won 1-0 away from home, so we were through. Fergal McClements, it's mad that the media tried to make United quadruple talk happen so they could make it look bad if it doesn't come off.
We said that they was doing it at the time.
Yeah, you called it. No one even mentioned City winning treble, so it doesn't look like a flop. Sam Z says, talking football on the brute, sacrilege. Apologies, but we did spend the good 25 minutes talking about ice baths. What are you up to this weekend? What's going down in the
goal? Molly there says 92nd, 94th and 99th minute with goals.
It's midnight, isn't it?
What was the order?
I want to say, I know the scorers are Charlton, Kidd and Best. I want to go that order. Is it Charlton, Kidd, Best?
Four goals.
No, sorry, for extra time. The first goal is probably Charlton. So it's Charlton, they equalise, and then I think the extra time order, I want to say the last one's Best.
Yeah, I think Brian Kidd with his header celebration is the first one. Ah. And I think that Bobby Charlton, what a goal his second
right.
is. By
Can me. I ask you a question? You've watched a lot of old football, right?
And this Let's is, not do this.
No. Did Bobby Charlton ever score a goal that wasn't a worldie?
Oh, no.
Like, every goal you see of Bobby Charlton is... a contender for one of the best goals you've ever seen.
Yeah, he's either dribbled it from the halfway line and gadooshed it.
Yeah.
Or it's just a 40-yard pile driver.
it's like, it's on one a of them like where you go
medicine ball.
Yeah. What are you shooting from there for? Oh. he scored again. Like
power like you've never seen.
Yeah. Like, what is that about?
That's those minor genes. It can only be. It can only be. Absolutely. What? Basically, Tony Yeboah watched all of Bobby Charlton's stuff and was like, okay, got it.
Tony Yeboah, we were talking about him the other day.
He's like, scored 2 goals, didn't he? That was it.
Well, have you seen his birthday?
I feel like he scored 2 goals.
Yeah, his birthday is the 6th of the 6th, 66.
No.
There might be a reason for that. Bob, the order was, we said it, Charlton, then Grasser for Benfica. I got it completely wrong, by the way. You were right. No, sorry. It was Best, Kidd, Charlton.
Oh, did Best score the make it 2-1?
No. Yeah. Best scored the big... Because I always thought Best was like... Because didn't he say Best? He rounded the keeper and his idea was he was going to flick it up and head it in. But he said he saw, like, as he was went round the keeper, a defender coming, he thought, I better not start messing about. Can you imagine? He did that, he didn't come off, and then we lose.
It's a great goal.
Yeah, it is. And he said, I think he says, I must have been knackered because Bill Fouts came up to celebrate with me. And he, like, he caught up with me dead quickly. but just amazing. Yeah, what are you up to this weekend?
So we drew last week against Top of the League, which isn't a bad result in all honesty. I was disappointed not getting the 3 points, but... they've scored 76 goals in 18 games prior to last week.
What?
So getting a clean sheet, 0-0 it was. And Ryan's rattled the bar with 10 minutes to go.
Right, you could say that though, wouldn't you? 76 goals in what, how many games? 18.
4 goals a game.
That's naughty, that.
Yeah, they've been on fire. They've got a couple of very good players. So it was a very good game. For a 0-0, it was entertaining end-to-end for a 0-0. You don't see 0-0s at this level,
no,
really.
You've had a couple on you.
We only had Wimbledon Amateurs as a friendly the other week. Was 0-0 as well, but no, I'd try and push for him. We're playing third place. We got a win to have a chance at getting promotion. If we beat these and win our 2 games in hand that we've got on them, we'll draw a level on points with them, and these are third at the moment.
Okay,
it should be 3.
Is it just automatic promotion in this scenario? Yeah, top 2 teams go up.
Top 3.
So
we don't want to get into third. Yeah, there's about 9 games left, something like that. So. There's a lot of time left in the season, but we need to start racking up some wins now. We've had a poor last 5 or 6 weeks, but the performances have been mint. We've not been getting the results. So, really happy with the performance, not happy with the results. Someone's getting a smack in at some point soon, and I won't mind it being tomorrow.
Fair enough. Abdul Ibrahim, before we go, says, Steve, what's your UFC prediction for tomorrow? I don't know anything about this. I'm glad you're answering.
I think Usman gets it back.
Yeah. There you go. He knows his stuff, this man. I don't even know who's fighting. So there you go. That one's cleared out. Thanks to everyone who got involved. Thanks to Surfshark sponsoring the brew. Thanks to Stephen Howson, of course. I'm Jay Motti. Don't forget to hit like, share and subscribe. Thanks for watching.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Oh. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.